Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love? Don't you think? I may take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, light in this present darkness? A lot of darkness out there. I want to be light. I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. We got a good one. But before we get into our show today is dedicated to a man who I miss very, very much. The Godfather of Daily Living, the man who started this ministry. I met him about 15 years ago. His name is Charlie Gillian. I had just been ordained a priest and was on the radio talking, playing music, and he came up to me and he said, you know what, you should be on TV. And I said, brother, I got the face for radio. I don't see that. He goes, no, you really should. And I was very nervous about the idea, but then he said the magic words, and I'll pay for it. I'm like, okay, well, them a-fighting words, I'll try that. And so we broadcasted our first show out of Beckley, West Virginia, about 15 years ago on a small station that broadcasts in southern West Virginia. And from there, it has grown. Now, Charlie, through the years, has been my number one cheerleader. He believed in me before I believed in myself. Sadly, 2 years ago to this month, he contracted COVID and passed away very suddenly. I think about him just about every day. He is the reason why you are watching me today. And our show today is dedicated to his memory. What do you say? We quiet our minds and put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, we spend so much time running here and running there and doing this and doing that. And how often do we just stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I going? The good news about the good news is that God wants to lead you. And He does it many, many ways in what I call the quiet voice. And like those GPS systems in cars that sometimes they'll say, take a right, and you go left. Sometimes we go left in life, but the Holy Spirit will reroute us and bring us to the Father through the quiet voice. As I said, speaks to us in many ways. But one very powerful way is His Word, because His Word is alive and it will speak to you where it finds you, because it's moving. His Word is like stepping into a moving stream. It's all around you and it will reveal itself to you when you authentically seek Jesus. My prayer for you today, my prayer for me, is that God will speak to us in our gospel today. We're going to school, my friend. The question is, are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a classic gospel. Chapter 11. Oh, that's the wrong one. Chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And order the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The gospel of the Lord. Wow, what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, calling the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we have the gospel that everybody knows, the feeding of the 5,000. Theologians will say this is a prefiguration of the Eucharist, feeding of the 5,000, also known as the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Like I said, everybody knows this gospel, and part of the reason why it's so well known is that it is found in all four of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which makes it unique. In fact, the only other miracle I can think of that is found in all four gospels would be the resurrection, which gives you a sense of how important the feeding of the 5,000 really is. I mean, think about it. What would the good news be without the resurrection? I'll tell you what, nothing. So the fact that it's in all four Gospels really does lend itself to the gravity of what's going on here. It's a seminal moment in the ministry of Jesus. It is a turning point. News of this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 would soon spread far and wide, catapulting Jesus from a local phenomena to a national figure. In fact, in the Gospel of John, we find out that they wanted to try to make him king after this miracle, which I'm sure sounded like a good idea to the disciples. Because, of course, remember, they're looking for a warrior king, and this would definitely fit into their plan. So, once again, the feeding of the 5,000, it's a big deal. What does it mean? And most importantly, how can we apply this into our daily living? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. At first blush, this story appears pretty straightforward. Jesus is providing dinner for those who are following him. But there's a whole lot going on here. Today, we are considering the Matthean account. And as I said, or I don't know, did I say? We're in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And like I say, I know I say this just about every week. And I don't want to sound like a broken record. But one should never consider Scripture in isolation. One must always find the context in which the Scripture appears. So let's set the table with a little context. What has just happened? We're in the 14th chapter, so what has just happened? Well, obviously, the 13th chapter. And we've been in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew for the last 3 weeks. And Jesus has been trying to explain, well, the unexplainable. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, beginning with the parable of the sower. And I love that story. The reckless farmer who is casting his precious seed all over the place. But such is the reckless love of our Father for you. Now, some of that seed falls on a path. Some of that seed falls on rocky soil. Some of that seed falls on thorny ground. And some of that seed falls on rich soil. Begging the question, when our Lord throws the seed at you, upon what soil will it find? Next comes the wheat and the weeds, which describes how our world is a field where the righteous and the evil grow side by side. And that certainly seems to be the case. And then, of course, last week we had the treasure buried in the field and the pearl of great price. And I love all those parables. And they highlight a different aspect of the kingdom. But of course, the finite mind can never fully understand an infinite concept. All we can really do is point at it with allegory and metaphor. The kingdom of God is like, and this is what Jesus does. And he's been at it for some time. But today in our gospel, he has just heard some devastating news. And you know how it is when you hear some really bad news. Sometimes you just really don't want to talk about it. You know, sometimes you just want to get away and be alone. When Jesus hears of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself because he wants to get away. He wants to process this. But can he? No, he can't, because the crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. Why? Because the word is out, and Jesus is a hunted man. Can you imagine just hearing this incredibly devastating news, and you just try to get away? Let me just think about this for a while. This must have been very, very difficult for Jesus, the man that Isaiah 53 describes as the suffering servant. Not only has he lost his cousin, he's lost him in a most brutal and violent way as he was beheaded by King Herod. When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd and his heart was filled with pity for them, and he cured their sick. So even though he's just trying to get away, even though he just needs a moment alone, the crowds push in, and that's impossible. And his compassion moves to pity, and he heals them. Why? Because that is what he does. Mark describes the same scene as Jesus looking over the crowds and seeing them as a sheep without a shepherd. Luke describes the same scene, having Jesus preaching from sunrise to sunset, all about the kingdom of God. The Gospel of John has Jesus looking at the crowd, turning to Philip and asking, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? All four accounts are slightly different, but they're all true. Kind of like eyewitnesses to a crime. They will all see it from a different and unique angle. But then again, that's kind of how Scripture works, doesn't it? It will reveal to you what you need to hear as it speaks to you in whatever season it might find you. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. a monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we're talking all about the feeding of the 5,000. A huge moment in the ministry of Jesus, evidenced by the fact that it appears in all four Gospels. Today, I want to try to blend all four of these accounts into one story so we can try to figure out what it's trying to teach us, and more importantly, how we can apply it into our daily living. Because, my friends, we must never forget that we read Scripture, we study, we ponder Scripture, not to try to find some secret knowledge, but rather to hold a mirror up to ourselves and be confronted, to be convicted, and hopefully, ultimately, to be transformed. That's what the Holy Spirit's up to. It's calling you to change and transform yourself into the image of Christ. Now, just for the break, Jesus had heard of the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. And he's just trying to get away. Just needs a break. But the crowds make that impossible as they come to Jesus with their earthly needs. And with great compassion and pity, he heals them and then preaches to them about their eternal needs. And it begins early in the morning. And it continues 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. My friends, this was a very long service. And you got to feel for the poor disciples. Because remember, they came here for rest. So they started out tired. So here they are. They've been on their feet all day. They're hungry. They're tired. They did not get a lunch break. And now it's about 7 in the evening, and the sun is going down, and the shadows start to fall. And I imagine they came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, this has been a beautiful service. Said a lot of nice things. But, you know, maybe it's time to kind of start wrapping this thing up. We need to send these people away. Because they're hungry and we're hungry." And Jesus responds, "There is no need to send them away. Why don't you feed them?" "Oh, really? All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. How are we going to do that?" And Jesus says, "Bring them to me." In other words, what you got? Bring it to me. My friend, this is the deeper meaning of this miracle. This is what the feeding of the 5,000 is all about. What you got, bring it to me. Consider this. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He's divine. That means he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. In other words, he's God. And as God, he can do whatever he wants, however he wants to do it, which includes the power to create something out of nothing. We see this in Genesis, as God speaks things into existence. So we know he can do this. We saw Jesus give sight to the man born blind. Where there were no eyes, now the man can see. So we know he can do this. We know he has the power over nature, as we see him calm the storm at sea. So we know that Jesus could have fed this crowd any way he chose to do so. He could have snapped his fingers and filet mignons would have fallen from the sky with a side salad. Could have happened. But he does not do this. So watch this, because this is really important. This is what the gospel is all about. Rather than creating something out of nothing, which we know it can do, he chooses to take what we can offer and he multiplies it. And in the case of our disciples today, all they can offer is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Gospel of John has a very interesting detail, because the boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, barley loaves. Barley is a significant detail because a barley loaf is a coarse bread. A barley loaf is a second tier to fine flour bread. You could call it low rent bread. Barley loaves were only eaten by the very poor. There is no need to send them to go away. Give them food for yourselves, well, or from yourselves. 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's all we got. That's hardly enough to feed such a crowd. But Jesus takes what little they have and then multiplies it in their hands to make the miracle happen. Just as he will take what little you have to offer to make his kingdom come to pass. So watch this. In the end, you're the miracle. Begging the question, what gift are you willing to offer our Lord today to make his kingdom come to pass? It's a good question. But I have another question. Why would he choose to do it this way? Well, to answer that question, we have to go to the story of creation. And God said in the story of creation, let there be light, and there was light. So God speaks this world into existence. Where there was nothing, there is now something. Meaning that his words have creative power. Now, by the time he gets to creating us, he does something different. He says, let us make man in our own image. Which begs 2 questions. First of all, who's he talking to? And what does it mean to be made in God's image? Well, let's start with that first question. Who is he talking to? Because if God's by himself, who's he talking to? Well, actually, he's not by himself. May I suggest that he's speaking to the Son and the Holy Spirit, because the eternal triune God is always Trinity and has always been there. When the Spirit moved across the deep, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were already there. Now, as far as that second question, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Does that mean that when I look in the mirror, this is what God looks like? No, of course not. God is spirit. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Well, it means that I share the essence of God. And what is the essence of God? Well, number one, is to create. So if I'm made in the essence of God, then I'm made as a mini creator. So just as God's words have creative power, so do mine. And that is true. Now, further down the line in this creation story, we run into an interesting detail, often overlooked. God asked Adam to name the animals. Now, that's a bit odd. Why would he do that? Only the one who creates has the right to name something. Was God having trouble coming up with the names himself? Was he having some kind of creative block that day? No, of course not. He chooses to have Adam name the animals because he wants Adam to become a co-creator in his kingdom work, just as he wants you as one of his children to become a co-creator in his kingdom, to become a partner making his will come to pass in this world. And this is the true meaning of the feeding of the 5,000. Because as I said, you are the miracle. As I said, you are the gift. Only question left is, What are you willing to offer God to make His kingdom come to pass today? So again, the feeding of the 5,000. What can we learn? What lesson can we take from this? How can we apply this into our daily living? Well, the deeper meaning lies in the gift of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. As Jesus looked out across this vast crowd and felt pity for them, He presented to His disciples a seemingly impossible situation. Did they believe? Not really. No, I don't think they did. But they were willing to suspend their disbelief and do exactly what Jesus told them to do. Which very much reminds me of the wedding at Cana. When Mary looks at the servants, and what does she say? Do whatever He tells you to do. And in doing so, they became co-creators in His kingdom work as the water became wine. My friends, this is our call. God is calling us to participate in His kingdom work. What are you willing to offer Him today to get that done? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, if you want a new life, God accepts trade-ins. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.